There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Superhero brother, and it's time to get down. I'll be hidden in the shadow undercover at night. I'm a bad cop, I'm a doing tights. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, your symbol of justice for those who don't know. I'm the arms of the world, trying to true. And if you want to step up, baby, I'm coming after you.
Oh, we're coming after you. It is from the Helicarrier, your number one news source for Marvel Avengers Alliance, Marvel Avengers Gaming, Marvel Gaming in general. And, you know, if it and I keep trying other games, it's going to turn into this deck. No, it's going to stay Marvel here. Well, this is FTH Classic, where we do talk about Marvel Avengers Alliance 1. You heard the laughter. I'm Epic Boss at Fall. That is Golden Age Ibbit still putting in some awesome headlines. What do you have, sir, today?
Just changing stuff around. All right, talking about Marvel Avengers Alliance. Today we're going to be talking about Meet the Beetle in the new PvP season. We get some new patch notes, and Angrier gets a little less angrier. And Facebook Games Arcade is in beta, and it's awesome. Of course, all of this in your emails and voicemails. But before we get to talking about all that stuff, Charles... Can somebody fish into their virtual pockets, pull out some gold, and spend it on something in the game by chance?
You know, yes, it vexes me. It vexes me sorely right now. The Lantern of Doom has come back around on sale for gold, 96 gold. I'm actually seeing if it's still going on right now. Because the game is slowly getting back to that screen.
I can tell you just loaded it because your microphone went completely crusty.
Did it really? Like you
totally turned into Robot McFall.
Why is it now? It's literally the line of load. Okay, now it's moving. It's like in between the E and the C of use the flight deck to earn silver. It just sat there. So, yeah, there were the Lantern of Doom. The reason it vexes me is because I only have like 20 gold and I'm not really... I have the money. I just don't want to put it on a game right now. I've got other stuff I'm trying to do. So yeah. And then I have to remember, okay, yes, Lantern of Doom is epic and it is great. And if you have the gold or you feel like buying the gold, get it. By all means, get it. Mm-hmm. Actually, Lantern of Doom has passed. It was just over this past weekend.
Oh, good. Then you don't have to be vexed anymore.
You just have to kick
yourself for not buying it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely wanted it. I did. And it's sure. just, it's one of those things.
I believe it.
Of course, we've got the Spec Ops sword going on there for 64 gold. We've got the PvP stuff from this season and the PvP boosters from last season, and that's it. That's what's going on. But yeah, the certain weapons are worth it. That one was definitely worth it. I just it wasn't in reach. Oh, look at that. I just spun up another Wakandan mace. Would you like one, Ibbit? Do you have one yet?
No, I do have one already. And, I should be okay. Got that and the speed blade. Is that what it's called? The Wakandan speed blade. So I've been running with both of those. And it's not bad. I mean, you know, they both turn into, well, the first one you use turns into a quick action, which is kind of nice. Because the second one.
Yes.
The blade packs a punch, man. It's a mean weapon. All right, close your Avenger Alliance window because it's killing your audio.
Sorry, gone. There it is.
You sound like Jarvis. All right, so while you're doing that, let's talk about the new PvP season, which launched a little while after we did the show last week. And we were talking about who we thought the hero was going to be. And I think I said Beetle. And sure enough, it is Beetle. It's the female Beetle.
I think you said Mantis.
I think that was you. nice try, though.
It was a worthy look. You know, she's on the art. And, you know, somebody's got to pick up lots of slack of saying evergreen and not having it happen.
Right, of course. Right. No, you know, it was a valid guess for sure.
But it wasn't even an hour after the show. I get this little picture from Mimic like, look at what I found.
It was the snarkiest thing I could send you. Could you, the writing is a little tiny on there. Could you read that to me? Tell me what it says.
It was great. Yeah. I was like, Yeah, I think you teamed up with Platinum to troll me a little bit on that one, but that's okay. I'll take it because Beetle looks pretty cool.
That's exactly what I did. I'm sure that's exactly right. No, but Beetle is the new character, and let me see. I think your audio just went better. Let's hear. Let's see. Say something.
Something.
No, you still sound like crap.
We're excited. Let me try. Shut off and everything.
I'm gonna try putting you on hold. And taking you off hold and see if that makes a difference.
And I'm back.
Oh, much better. Okay. Look at that.
I'll still leave the game off, though, just to be sure.
That's the magic right there. All right, so Beetle is the new reward hero for PvP. Now is a good time, because this seems like a little bit shorter of a PvP season, it's probably not a bad idea to start making your way up to Adamantium as soon as possible before you get into that last week rush.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
So you definitely want to do that. Along with Beetle came some patch notes, and I decided to pull them up here. So just for our posterity, I guess, Beetle is Janice Lincoln, daughter of Tombstone, big Spider-Man villain. While she was settling a dispute between Baron Zemo and Fixer, she volunteered to join them as a supervillain. She was given a suit of armor and a new persona to match. As a villain for hire, Janice sought to run her own group of supervillains, but was eventually captured and locked away in Rikers. Coulson decided to give her one more chance, working with S.H.I.E.L.D. as a form of community service.
So that means we'll get her on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, doubtful.
Yeah.
she's an infiltrator. Her passive is battle preparation, so she's got a chance to follow up on single target attacks, both from her and from allies. She's got cunning mind, so she's kind of infiltrator and tactician while in combat and gets the advantages and disadvantages of both. She's got durability to significantly reduce the damage of an attack and flying, so of course she's immune to ground attacks. Her attacks, I'll just go through these really quickly. Incinerator Ray is a single enemy energy attack, ranged attack that neutralizes, impairs, melts armor, and causes burning. Rapid Shot is her second, her level 2 attack. It's also a single enemy ranged gun, so maybe take advantage of that with that gun EI so that came out. Causes off balance, exhausted, and winded. The playbook is a quick action all ally buff that creates a negative effect disadvantage on enemies, creates combat awareness on all allies, and creates part of the plan, which gains exploit opportunity for 2 rounds. And then the last attack is Bertha. Not Big Bertha, just Bertha. It's an all-enemy attack, ranged gun explosion, causes catastrophic. This is your finisher. It's combustible, so you want to use it against your burning targets, and deals extra damage on critical hits. In addition to that, the diamond reward this time around is the Screaming Cannon. It is an all-enemy ranged sonic gun. It gives you, as a passive, high chance to evade counterattacks and follow-ups. Also gives you that Sky is Falling benefit that we talked about before.
There you go. I was going to say, add to that. Yep.
That's yep. Your gun sonic right and there. Ground attacks have a 50% chance to create falling debris. I like that a lot, especially since it's an all enemy deal.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. It causes dementia, so it can cause confusion, disoriented, mind control, and possessed. And gives you internal bleeding. So you take damage after you perform an attack. Your enemies do, I should say. Stacks with bleeding. And of course, if you've got a finisher that takes advantage of bleeding targets, then that's one to use with it. And finally, feedback for all your allies. Basically, the avalanche deal where when somebody attacks you, they get feedback shockwaves back at them that cause a little bit of damage. The vibranium reward is a tactician. It's the tactician-infused tech suit. And it is immune to poison and bio effects, kind of like all these have been immune to something.
Yes.
And then debuff actions drain stamina from the target, so it's a stamina suck. Nice. melee attacks gain envenomed, and you take less damage from damage over time effects.
Nice. This is a good reward set on paper.
It is a good reward set. Yeah, definitely liking it. All right, so let's talk about some of these patches. Aside from that, there's a couple fixes to Spec Ops 34, adding some notes or adding some tasks, making them come up earlier than they normally come up. And here we go. All right. So Amazing Spider-Girl has her magnetic mover fixes an issue that kept her from hitting all enemies when she's on a defensive PvP team. So a little bit of a buff to her.
Good.
A Death Locket buff and a Red She-Hulk buff also on all enemy attacks.
Well, the Death Locket buff just really helps her plug into that Quinjet better so she can fly it more and get more silver back.
Right. <Okay. laughs> a little extra star on her pilot's license, basically. Yeah. A lot of nerfs to Cloak and Dagger. Shot in the Dark is now cooled down for two rounds. Starts off cooled down, so you got to... you got a way to use that. However, Pitch Black doesn't start cooldown anymore, and its cooldown has been reduced by one round. So a nerf and a buff to Cloak and Dagger. Now, we get to the long list of Angrier. It's like, holy cow. So amount of healing that he gets when he uses Purifying Flames or Twisted Flames if he's in Angrier form has been reduced. Skittering Soul Siphon no longer drains stamina from counterattacks and follow-up attacks. His Dominatrix move is now a debuff action and has reduced the chance of Possessed being applied to 40%.
Now you know why they did that, right?
Because every PvP team had Angrier, or you mean
well,
specifically
I mean, made it specifically a debuff because now you have the weapon from Spec Ops that can preemptively counter buff and debuff actions, I think.
Right. Makes sense.
So, yeah.
Mort Deuce and Active Darkness now take more stamina.
Okay.
Active Darkness now has a 50% chance to apply Purged. Active Darkness has been increased the cooldown to three rounds. Take that.
Yeah.
Lost Dark Soul no longer restores health when attacking. Breaker of Souls passive will now restore health when defeating an enemy. So Angrier, you know, I mean, you kind of had to see this coming. When he's being used in every single PvP defensive team, it doesn't surprise me that we see him getting the attention. It's the tall poppy syndrome. If you see, you know, whichever poppy outgrows the rest, gets its head cut off, basically. So,
Poppy.
Right. Oh, nice reference there.
Yeah,
wow.
You like that.
Existential blues.
Yeah, existential. She asked me, what's your sign? I said neon. I thought it'd blow her mind. Agent Areta says, Angrier before fixes, Titan. Angrier after fixes, mortal with a cane and wrinkly skin.
So true.
You know, so true. Have you fought him against him yet on defense?
No, I haven't. That's funny. Now that you mention that.
I went up against him and Null. And I don't remember what the agent had. But it came down to one-on-one, and I won, but barely. And it was like, okay.
Oh, really? So even with the nerf, he's still...
You can still load up your armory. You know, we refuse to call it items. It's still the armory, and you can boost him with his own ISOs. And actually, somebody just posted, Blade Man posted a picture today, said, oh, he was down for less than 24 hours because there's a... EISO for him now, for Angrier specifically, that says any attack that would have reduced Angrier to zero has a 50% chance to bring him back to 50% health or something like that. It's a Deadpool. It's a Deadpool EISO for Angrier.
It's spicy EISO for, I can't remember if that was savory or spicy.
I can't remember which, but yeah, because not though. The Wolverine one or the Sabretooth one is the 1%. Yeah, it will bring you back, but you only have like 1% of your health. The Deadpool one is the 50% boost. And yeah, there's an Angrier out there now for it.
And what's the Vincent what's the one he's got that basically has a chance to return him to full health?
Yeah, that's a rebooted. Reboot,
right.
Like
yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's just on him. Kerbos says, didn't he already have that back from hell? Maybe that is the same one. I just didn't. Jay Wyatt says they've been having that. Well, it works for Angrier, too. I guess somebody had Angrier. So I guess it depends on how you have him on your team. If you have the alt equipped, it will say Angrier on the stone. If you don't, it'll say Luke Cage. Or not Luke Cage. I was thinking of Null. Because the same thing happened with Null was Luke Cage's knuckle up. say, you know, he clears a debuff with every level of Knuckle Up. Well, Null does not get Knuckle Up at all. He doesn't have that passive. But it will say Null, Breaker of World, or Breaker of whatever the hell. I forget what Null's the Breaker of now.
There was one really early on with Angel and Archangel where the alt didn't allow to use the same EISO because it was a different name. Yeah. All right. So in addition to all that fun stuff, there's some protect actions. I'm sorry, some changes to the way things are tagged as protect actions now for Kazar, Molly Hayes, Destroyer, and Omega Sentinel. And here's the fun one. The following weapons have been rebalanced due to an error in the damage calculation formula. Huh? Ready for the list? Because these are the ones you're not going to see in PvP anymore.
Is it a long list?
It's not a long
okay,
list.
Okay, yeah. Well, right, I mean, here we go. Anyway, but yeah.
Yeah, Big Brother, Little Brother, Radiation Injector, Gore Blade, Deathlock Cannon, Focus Plasma Launcher, Deathlock Fist, Cybernetic Glove, Plasma Launcher, Quick Draw Plasma Pistol, Uranium Loaded Machine Gun, Detonating Rifle, Ionizing Radiator, Premonition Actuator, brand new one, and Photon Ray. What else here? I think the rest of these are all pretty...
And that makes them weaker because they were too strong?
Yeah, yeah.
That's weird because the Quick Draw Gun was not that strong.
Yeah, it just says they've been adjusted or rebalanced due to the error in the damage calculation formula.
So we don't know if it went up or down.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Force of Life Blade's tooltip has been updated. No change to how it works or anything. It uses Drain now instead of Vampiric. Correct an issue that increased the healing received by the Quick Draw Plasma Pistol. So if you were using that... here we go. Yeah, so the Quick Draw Plasma Pistol used to allow you to heal without having another Deathlock set piece, and now that's been fixed. So you have to have two pieces of the Deathlock set in order for the Quick Draw Plasma Pistol to heal, and it'll also reduce the amount of healing you get. Oh, here was the bummer one. Bow of Binding and Hire a Hero.
Right.
Because those are the two that summoned like all your magic users and all your heroes for hire characters. They're now quick actions, so you can only use one. You can't use both. And, well, I take that back. You can still use both, but you can't use those and a third thing. It was like they were free actions, so you could use basically both of those and still do an attack. And they also share a one-round cooldown, so you can't summon... there we go. You can't summon from both of them in one turn because once you do one of them, the other one's on a cooldown as well.
That didn't seem to be necessary.
I don't know
that I'm going to put an agent with both equipped on their agent, but I've definitely gone up against either. And I was like, you'll come in, they'll do an attack, and it's like, okay. You know, sometimes it hits a little hard, sometimes it doesn't, but it's not devastating. And had you brought in, let's say I went up against you, Ibbit, and you had both done. Colleen Wing followed by Baron Mordo. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, you got extra turns. Now I just have to jump that hurdle of the quote unquote extra turns. It's not, I don't think that was necessary. I don't think they needed to change that. I don't think there was a balance issue there, personally.
I used it on PvE and it definitely felt kind of OP. Like I could, one shot a team basically by doing somebody from the Heroes for Hire, somebody from the Bow of Binding, and then hit them with the, an all enemy, fairly major attack. Cause one of the people you could Hero for Hire is is Luke Cage, not Null, but Luke Cage. And him putting those rocks on in PvE was pretty devastating. Mm. So, yeah, I kind of see why they did it. Bums me out, though, because that was just such a fun way to get through PvE slogs, right? Like going through and farming and stuff. It's like, all right, having to do that one again. But let's see here. What else? Some changes to other characters. Blade, Morbius, Captain Britain, Mr. Fantastic. Just some EISO changes.
You know what they didn't change is the rapier. Man, yes. It follows up like it should. And
no change to the rapier.
It is the new cube, in my opinion. I mean, it's one of those things that you cannot, maybe it's a little too high in how much it procs and how hard it hits. Cause it's not devastating. I'm using maybe two terms there, but it's not end of the world, one hit wonder. But I got to tell you, out of all the follow-up or chance to follow-up weapons that we have, it's, in my opinion, the best. And people, a lot of teams are still using it. And, you know, I like it. I like it. Even when it happens to me, like, it's working. To me, it's working as it's intended. Is it supposed to be this badass sword that follows up? I'm kind of done with the nerfs, man. Let's just make everything stronger.
Right, right, you'd think. The last one that they list here is kind of surprising that it's like shoved all the way down at the bottom of their list, but ethereal and intangible have had their durations reduced by one round. And that was such a nice benefit of the, it's the weapon I'm using in PvP on my blaster. It is the, where is it? Maybe I'm not using it anymore. I take that back. I was using it, and I substituted in the Famine's Toll because I like that one a little bit better. But there was a weapon, I think, from the last PvP, the blaster weapon that would give you intangible for the first few rounds, and that was a really nice one. There's a bunch of undocumented changes, a lot of stuff where it changes icons and the name of things. Let's see. Measured attack now does different damage or a larger amount of damage. So if you've been using that, then you'll like that. Terracing boost used to stack infinitely. Now it just stacks once. So well, technically doesn't stack.
Yeah.
And there we go. And then just all the stuff that I mentioned. Oh, actually, that's cool. They go into detail on the specifics on the gear I mentioned. What was the one you were asking about? What thing was doing lame amount of damage?
Oh, the quick draw pistol.
There it is. Damage reduced. So it's less effective.
It was literally living up to its name. It was a quick action. Put some healing on you if you had another Deathlock set weapon.
Right.
And that was it. It wasn't...
Now it's doing a little bit less damage. But hey, you know, it still heals you, also for not as much. So there's that.
There's that. Jay Wyatt says the AISO nerfs are serious.
There's a ton of AISO nerfs. Holy cow.
Wow.
Actions equipped with the following AISOs now have a 5% damage or healing reduction. And it's a list of, it's a long list. Oh yeah. And then there's another long list of 10% damage reductions. And then there's a couple left under the 15% damage or healing reduction.
So I got a serious question though. Is Kevin Smith running Playdom now? Because he doesn't like violence. And, you know, I love Kevin Smith. I like his movies. The episode of Flash that he directed was really good. But it feels like we're getting a lot of dialogue and not a whole lot of hitting people.
That's been Spielbergized, basically. Yeah. They're replacing all the guns with walkie-talkies in this game. So, so be ready for that.
Because I still look at the whole level 70 cap in the PvP, and I go, why?
Yeah.
I don't quite remember. I mean, I remember why they tried it, but I don't know what their results were. And it's like, okay, what's the difference between me at level 300 fighting level 300 people and the difference of level 70? Because the slog's still there between 250 and 300. Mm-hmm. PvP's still a beast, even though you're technically, I'm not sure how directly translates, but let's say it's from level 60 to level 70 in PvP. If a level 70 like myself goes up against a level 60, I will destroy you.
Yeah.
You know, right. It's not that. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. One last thing. If you've completed or if you've already started working on mission number 4 in the current Spec Ops, the star levels have been adjusted, so it now takes a little bit more, not much, but a little bit more to get to 2 stars, 3 stars, and 4 stars. 1 star, though, has been reduced. Yeah. Well, it is when it's a task, right? Like when one of the tasks is...
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, sadly, yes, it's still a thing, but hopefully not. It's not a tremendous thing, and really, if you just do well in the Spec Ops, then it's not going to be a big pain in the butt.
I do, from a business standpoint, agree with Agent Arenos. Because PokerProcess, to be fair, The ISO nerfs aren't surprising. Being able to do things like place flanked or other interesting effects on any attack of your choice needs some drawback. And Agent Reno says, true, but if they're going to nerf AISOs, and they should reduce the prices for them as well. It's like, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
You don't come out the 2017 model and it works worse in 2016 and you charge the same.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, what are they going to do? Do a 5% decrease? If it's a 5% decrease in damage, a 5% decrease in gold isn't going to be much.
That's just true. It's going to be 4.75 gold instead of 5 gold.
That's right, exactly.
I don't know how that's going to work.
So those are the patch notes. So let us know what you think of the – keep us posted on what you guys think of the changes, especially to Angrier. You'll probably be seeing him a lot less in PvP. You may be using him a lot less in PvP. But let us know. Reach out to us. Use our email address, which is from the helicarrier at gmail.com. Or if you're a member of the Agents Only Lounge, you know, post something there. Let's talk about this. Let's work our way through it.
Yep.
And we'll be fine.
And you become a member of the Agents Only Lounge.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's talk about that.
Patreon.com/ from the helicarrier. If you pledge at any level, you'll become a member of the Agents Only Lounge. And many, many, actually pretty much everybody who's ever played PvP that's in the lounge has said the lounge has improved their game. I am one of those guys. It has improved my game just many times over, for sure.
It's a small thing to do to help you in your quest for adamantium, for sure, right? Because it's such a benefit. You definitely need to do it.
And, you know, it's good to have people there when you're crying and going, I didn't make it. Like, we didn't either, man. Next time. We'll get it next time. It's nice support.
Right.
Nice support.
Right. Yes. And a bunch of great, talented shoulders to cry on. All right. One last thing to talk about. And we got to thank Kaiser Allen for finding this one.
Yeah.
This is really cool. There is a new application, an executable if you're a Windows user, called Facebook Games Arcade. This is a beta product from Facebook, and it allows you to run your Facebook-based games, your Flash-based games, in its own little window. It's not even a browser. You can't do anything else but play the games that you're playing on Facebook in this browser. What's really cool about this, there's a bunch of really cool things about this. Number one, it takes up less of a footprint on your device, on your laptop or desktop, because it's not running all of the other Facebook crap. You don't actually have to have Facebook running in a browser window while you're using this. And Facebook, you know, to show you all those things and keep you up to date on what all your friends are currently eating or what movie they saw last night, it takes up a lot of resources. What else is really cool about this is from a Marvel Avengers Alliance standpoint, you don't get those pop-ups letting you know that somebody liked your post.
Yes.
Which happened to just pop up right at the worst place and make you accidentally click that instead of the action you were going to click or whatever and cause you to lose that PvP match. It is a really, really cool thing. Now, it's not available to everybody as far as, you know, going into your own Facebook tools, Facebook apps, I think it is. However, there are links in the Agents Only Lounge. Just scroll through, look for Kaiser's link. Do a search for Facebook Games Arcade at the top of the page. And it is Facebook.com/GamesReddit. I'm sorry, there is a Reddit post with download links as well.
And I'm going to go ahead and post this on our Facebook page. So facebook.com/ from the helicarrier. I'm posting it now.
Excellent. Yeah, really cool. Only works on PC, so nothing yet for the Mac. But this is really cool. And it, you know, obviously works with MAA, but it'll also work with any other Facebook games that you play. And again, just reduce the amount of bandwidth it takes, reduce the amount of processor cycles and stuff. So I've loved it. Being able to take Facebook off my PC, or not take it off, but not have to launch a browser with Facebook, it's a huge benefit. And I've already noticed the speed increases and stuff. So big, big, big thanks to Kaiser Soze, I mean Kaiser Allen, for for finding that and linking to it, and also finding a link to it for people who don't have Facebook access to it. So,
yeah, because the first link, this is a different link. We'll read the email that somebody else sent us that gave us the actual links I'm posting right now. But the original one was some kind of Facebook. It wasn't games. It was facebook.com/something else. And then when you went there, it's like, no, sorry, this isn't available. So, yeah, the Reddit post, Kaiser actually had a direct link that I used from his post that's out there. It's going to work. As far as I can tell, this is an official Facebook thing and not some third party. Is that?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, this is an official Facebook thing. And it's in beta right now, so there's some fixes. There's a couple things like text that appears on buttons sometimes doesn't quite line up with the button. And those little notifications that you'd get, like gift error or gift limit reached, like when you're collecting all your gifts from people, stuff like that won't show up. Like you won't actually get the little message. You'll just get like a bunch of dashes because there's no room in that little field to fit it. However, I mean, those are such minor issues. And
it's beta. They're working on it.
It's beta. Yep, exactly. So, yeah, I'm really liking it. Cal in the chat room says, it's not bad. I didn't notice a huge improvement. Yeah, not, you know, your mileage may vary, but for me, it I did notice it almost right away that it was taking up less. Maybe I get more garbage in my Facebook than
I get lots of garbage in my Facebook. So I noticed a speed increase. What I noticed was less distraction.
Right.
Play the game. Oh, if I didn't do something else, minimize the window for a second, do something, pop the window back up, play the game.
It's super nice. Yeah.
Yes.
Plus just having that dark gray background for some reason looks so much better with it than the white Facebook background. I don't know why that is, but it's more pleasing on the eye. So again, thanks to Kaiser Allen for tracking that one down.
Absolutely.
All right. Anything else we want to talk about in this news segment business?
I have been using the Spec Ops weapons in PvP, which is a first for me pretty much ever. But wow. I like that all of them are preemptively counter items. Now, I don't have them on my defense, just on my offense, because I'm testing a theory. Actually, no, I take that back. I think I put one on my defense to test this. Let's see what this does when I don't touch it. Of course, I know it's not active on manually anyway. But on my offense, I'm running the melee preemptive and the buff debuff preemptive, because I feel like those are the two that will get you. Spitfire, you know, she'll take you down pretty quickly. So that's the melee.
So the mace is the melee, and
no, I didn't say spec.
You said spec ops.
Sorry, not the spec ops set. Not the Wakandan set. The research, the precog research.
Oh,
weapons.
Gotcha. Okay, the right. The approximate, foreboding device.
Wrong.
Yeah, no kidding. So, approximate foreboding device, distant foreboding device, cognitive foreboding device.
Yes. So I'm using proximate, which is the melee, and cognitive, which is the buff debuff.
Nice.
And it seems to work. On top of that, I got the AISO that puts. I think it's called shocking or something, but it puts. You trigger static shock when you use that certain attack. And on Null, I'm still using Null Electro this year or this season. Mm-hmm. And on Null, I put it on his hammer because he automatically counters with the hammer. And when things are set up right, I mean, there's static shock going everywhere. My agent's just jumping out and wailing with the fists. And it's a lot of fun. That's a lot of good stuff. Nice. So it's working out pretty well. And that's the first time I think I've ever used a research weapon from Spec Ops versus the actual Spec Ops set.
Yeah,
because
no kidding.
Just kind of usually the first two are placeholders to get to the third real one.
It really is. Yes, yeah, exactly.
But they actually are pretty cool.
Nice. So. All right. Good deal. What are the – so there's the Wakandan Speed Blade. There's the Wakandan Mace.
Mm-hmm. Which is okay. I actually got the gun that is from the Epic Boss the first time through, the Wakandan.
Oh, the Neural Disruptor?
Is that it? Is that the...
There's, so we've got the Vibranium Neural Disruptor and the Vibranium Power Fist. And then
it
the
must
Wakandan.
Be the Neural Disruptor then, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Cool. Yeah, I still haven't gotten those yet, but doing another epic run. I'm still, you know, I took the last one slower than by one or two. I'm taking this one a little bit faster than that, but still slower than before. Usually, you know, it used to be that you do a spec ops and you get through it in like 5-6 days. And this time around, it's definitely taken me a little bit longer, but I'm all right with that. I'm okay with that.
Did you like how, because I've actually completed it, recruited Blue Marvel and Lady Thor. Did you like how the missions were laid out?
Yes, I totally do. Yeah. I like how the tasks, like you can actually, it's kind of like how they do the chapters where you're researching one item, but there's still other tasks you can complete. And I love that.
Yes.
I love being able to get multiple things done at once.
I didn't go through it any faster than, I normally take about a week and a half to 2 weeks just because I take my time with it. But you like you were saying with the old, you do your 5 tasks and then you do your research and you just put it away. And then the next day you pull your research out of being done, do your 5 tasks, do the next research and wait the whatever hours. To, and now here, the only time I waited was at the end because I had to do the final research and then I had to use the weapon. And then as soon as I did that, I was like, oh, here you go. Here's 2 more characters.
And like, it's cool. Great. Yeah. Yeah. Really, really like that. So I hope that they keep this going because it is really cool.
Yeah, and I really liked King's Chapter 4. It's so easy to farm, and it's a lot of fun. And the story made sense. Even with the time travel, you know, if anybody wants to enjoy it, I'm not going to spoil it for you because I actually really enjoyed it. But even with the time bits of it, it all made sense, and it all came together. And it's like, do we go into King's level? I was like, well, who are we fighting now? And then you do. it's like, oh, okay, this is perfect. It's fun.
Nice. Yeah, our listener is way faster in this than me now. Agent Uranos, almost had a hard time saying that. Agent Uranos is he's actually leveling them or about to level both of them to level 15. So, all right, we get it. You kicked ass. All right, we understand and fine, whatever.
I just did them on the flight deck because I had PvP to focus on. So Blue Marvel's level 2. Lady Thor hadn't actually leveled yet, I don't think.
So. That sounds a little bit more like me. Cool. All right. Well, let's get to some of our submissions, our regular contributors to the show. I'm so happy that you've got this audio thing worked out. I'm crossing my fingers for you that it's not cake, you know, that it's real.
Best reference of the day. Our secret warriors have come through, and I've actually gotten off my butt and stopped trying to use mobile devices and actually have a laptop. So here is All Hail the King.
This is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. Now, for today, I don't have any complaining about any games. I'm pretty satisfied with everything, including Marvel Avengers Alliance 2. I started to have more fun with it, and I really can't tell you why. I guess it doesn't seem as difficult. The spec op got much easier. And I don't think they made any changes, but maybe they did. But I think you have to download an update, so I don't remember doing that. I don't know. Missions 2 and 3, though, definitely seemed easier. As far as the chapters, beating them, and so on, they were tough, but they weren't as tough as that first mission of spec op right away. But even they got easier. The only thing I can think of, to be honest with you, is I could use Wasp, and she was already incredibly useful, but once I got and started using her Queen Bee, it was like a whole nother ballgame. But yeah, I'm having a good time with it. I got Winter Soldier, and I'm already at level 30, so I'm going to make another video on that later. Marvel Heroes is extremely awesome right now. Check out my last 2 videos on it if you don't know about its event. It's probably the best Civil War movie-related event out of all the games. And as far as Marvel Future Fight, I'm kind of taking a break, but I don't have any problems with it either. So no soapbox this week. And I don't know if any of you like to hear me complain, but for those who do, I'm sorry. No complaints here. As for MAA-1, we are just training heroes. Jane Foster and Blue Marvel are in constant training. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a Blue Marvel video, as mentioned last week, very soon. I'm working on that as we speak, and he's going to be a level 12 for that video, so not too bad. That means the segment for this week is going to feature Thor, Jane Foster. There are quite a few cool things about her. For one, she already has an E-ISO and an A-ISO. And I do have both. So her fully charged and powered ISO 8 says, charging energy. Jane Foster starts combat with maximum stacks of energy charge. That means 3x energy charge. This increases damage done by 10% on the next attack. So 30% in all. Then her A-ISO makes a huge difference. The accelerated augmented ISO 8. It goes on her level 2 as Guardian Strike, and it's going to make that a quick action. In other words, you get a quick action attack that applies rising up to all allies and crackling shield. That, in my opinion, is a must-have. Remember, rising up's going to benefit her own home run level 9 attack. That attack has deadly crits, finest hour, and shocking. Another great gadget to use with her would be the Neurotrope, because it's going to make a guaranteed crit, plus hopefully give her some nice rising up buffs. That should definitely go a long way in benefiting home run. Besides that, she of course has static charge and some electricity type attacks or debuffs. But one of the coolest things about her is static pull. Chance to interrupt attacks made by enemies with static charge. So obviously, any static charge teammates or team-ups are going to be pretty awesome. One of the first characters that comes to everyone's mind these days is going to be Sinister Six member Electro. So we will most certainly use him. Then there are quite a few other options, of course, like Mighty Thor, Storm, and now there's even some special A-ISO we could try out. But I'm going to stick with a few of the classics for this one. We're going to go with Victor Mancha and Beta Ray Bill, two of my favorite static chargers. I know we didn't really go outside the box with this one, but I think they give her the best chance of winning. At the end of the day, I think that's the most important thing. Or is it that we had fun? Well, winning is fun. So those are pretty much going to be our team-ups, and we'll have that video out early next week. As for this week, there will be that Blue Marvel episode, and plenty more planned on the channel, so make sure you check it out. Oh, and by the way, I did finally see Captain America Civil War, and I thought it was awesome, so we'll probably make a review video on that as well. As far as this segment, that's going to be it for today, but I want to thank you all for listening, and then send it back to the hosts.
Yeah, we definitely tried really hard to get King on for our Breaking the Panel episode special that we did. And him and DC on Screen, there's just so many movies coming out right now and so many things going on in life with everybody that is just like, they couldn't make it. I mean, because you have to see the movie before you can talk about it. And unfortunately,
that's kind of a requirement.
Unable to be done. One of these days, though, we will have the King on live in one of our movie specials or
for sure,
or even just to host a show. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Definitely. So I'm glad he liked it. You know, I obviously, from if you're listening to the show, I had some issues, but I overall, I thought it was a great movie.
Would you say you liked it better or worse? Batman versus Superman.
I was about to say, I don't want the comparison. Why can't we love both? They're great children. They play well together.
I just want to troll you.
It's like, oh,
it's so fun.
here it is. All right. Let's do For the Helicarrier. We're doing the Thane. This is PokeProfs, Thane, Son of Thanos.
Greetings, agents, and welcome back to the MAA Microanalysis. I am your friendly neighborhood PokeProf, talking today about a hero who is unique in many ways compared to the rest of the lineup we've got here at the Alliance. Being the first time a hero was introduced to us in the Alliance before the world in general knew about him, as well as being the first lockbox character to join us who was not necessarily a villain, he has since gone on to become a useful supporting fighter in battle. I, of course, am talking about the son of Thanos himself, Thane. Now, what perhaps makes Thane one of the more interesting members of the Alliance is that while he is a blaster hero, his focus is more on supporting his allies with his Amber Field buff or negating the usefulness of his enemies with the Black Hand. And it's easy to see why he's fallen into this category, considering the former effect makes it so that he can make his allies immune to most debuffs, as well as getting free heals, while the latter is a quick action effect placing both Nanoplague and Despair on your enemy of choice, shutting down both buffs and heals for your enemies. Grabbing the AISO for the Amber Field makes it even more useful, allowing you to cover your entire team with the shield. That doesn't mean he's not capable of doing damage, however. His life and death attack not only has the power to hit hard, especially when Thane is on low health, but it also has the Brutal Strike ability added into it, which makes it that much harder for your reviving foes to come back after getting hit by it. Makes it even better with the heal that it gives to your entire team, and that hidden buff to blasters and others got recently really helps out. What hidden buff is that, you may ask?
I was.
Well, in the last major update, there was a change in the damage calculation for attacks. Debuff, psychic attack, psychic energy attack, subtle, animanium, ignore defense, and phased advantage attacks will from this point onward no longer take the buffs or passive abilities an enemy has in battle into effect. What this means, for example, is that it doesn't matter if a bruiser has the max stats for the elite ISO, or if the enemy team has survival training. All damage being dealt to them is going to be piercing right through those abilities and doing straight up more damage. Going back to the Son of Thanos, though, his most dangerous ability would have to be the Sealing Touch. Capable of straight up defeating a low health enemy, this attack will start to crystallize anyone who isn't down and out in amber. An unremovable effect, it slowly locks down the ability to move from their victims over a few rounds, sped up more should Thane attack them again with this skill. It eventually leaves them trapped, stunned, and unable to even blink, and free to critical attacks from anyone in your party. Thane is an interesting and potentially deadly man to have around. His very hands can hold the power of life and death, and to this day he is still learning how to properly control them. Should you wish to brave the wrath of Thanos and fight alongside his son, then Thane will be quite willing to lend you a helping hand. Just make sure you touch the right one. Head back to the Helicarrier agent and think of just what else you could do to make Thane a terror to fight.
Music.
Sorry, automatically play the next thing.
That's all right. Yeah, you know, I haven't used Thane in a while, so I like hearing those recommendations. So
yeah, I remember when he came out, he was so cool and so strong. And he hasn't been nerfed or anything to my knowledge. He just had a power creep. Well, I would love to see happen one day. And I know it's a lot to ask, and so I'm not asking. I'm just kind of saying it'd be cool if it happened, is if everybody kind of coordinated for a second. So we know that Prokuprof's like, okay, let's do Thane. And so Kingfisher's going to do great PvP team-ups with Thane. Good. He does the description of why Thane's great. And then Anadoh comes in with, here's how you crystal him up.
Oh, that would be super cool, right? Just every week a different character. Love it.
Yeah, because I was thinking, I was like, well, Thane, and I don't want it all the time because everybody has their own interests. You know, King is like, oh, I want to talk about some MMA too. That's fine. But, you know, every once in a while, it'd be cool. The three amigos come together and just here's the primer or even Prima, if you want to go, you know, Brady books, the primer guide to this character. And it's really cool because I love Thane, and hearing about this hidden patch, okay, he's more viable, but how do I use him to his best ability? What do I put on him and so on and so forth? Because I'll take him out in PvE fairly often, actually. You know, it's like, oh, who do I want to use? I invariably, you know, 3 out of 4 times land on him and go, oh, let's do that. But PvP doesn't cross my mind because – I don't know. He just isn't that much of a beast in PvP right now. So I like that. Age of Diablo, once a month, a Triforce comes together. I'll take that. I like that reference. That is cool.
Yeah, right.
All right. Speaking of Anadoh, let's roll this and pull the audio up here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Anadoh's MAA Arsenal, exclusively on the From the Helicarrier podcast. In this segment, I will try my best to come up with out-of-the-box hero and team builds, synergies, and uncover certain aspects of the game most tend to ignore. Now, in advance, I do want to apologize as I did promise to cover my list of the top 6 supporting heroes, but what I wanted to talk about instead is way too important to be ignored. Also, I know I haven't had the chance to upload my Luke Cage build as I've been really busy with projects coming up before the end of my semester. So hopefully, once it's all done, I can get back into the run of things. So, I opened my game Wednesday morning, and I see that in the news page, PvP Season 30 had dropped. I immediately go to the patch notes to see what's been fixed or updated. And looking through, I had no problem with any of the changes. But what caught my eye was the fact that Winter Soldier's level 1 had its damage reduced. This kind of bothered me, as Bucky was going to be my hero for this week's Civil War build. I headed over to the team page, since I knew he didn't have any ISOs equipped, and hovered my mouse over his level 1. With the way I had him set up, this attack had a damage range of 1517 to 2044. Automatically, I knew I could boost the damage with the sharpshooting AISO, so I equip it onto him, and then I go to hover over the action again, and I couldn't believe it. The damage had went down to 1,494 to 1,942. This was different than the numbers from before, believe me, and it wasn't a bug either. I even refreshed the game. If you don't believe me, try it out right now. The damage goes down when an AISO is added. I would have thought maybe they were just doing this on him, but then I went to other heroes and the same...
That's that 5 to 15% reduction.
Oh, well, yeah, but he didn't have an AISO on him before. So you think that when you add the AISO, so the AISO gives you the benefit and then reduces the amount of damage that that attack does.
I think that's I think that's what's playing out here. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. That totally makes sense.
Let's follow up and see what he's talking about. Let's see if
exact thing happened. No matter what AISO I put, it reduced the hero's damage.
There you go.
This didn't go for just attacks. It goes for healing as well. Say I want to put the Rising Augmented ISO 8 on Demian Hellstrom's level 9, a heal action. Well, after I equip it, even the healing is reduced. Like, really? Is that how this works now? I get an AISO to help increase my hero's effects, only for it to do less than it could before? Why? And on top of that, not even mention it in the patch notes? I mean, come on, this isn't right. We've already had an example of something like this that's happened in the past, and that was the Vorpal Augmented ISO 8. Remember how people went crazy over this thing just because it added ignore defense to slashing attacks? Everyone loved it. But then PD went and nerfed it, reducing its damage out of attack by 30%. After that, people didn't even use it anymore. So PD went and removed the most important part of that description, which was that its damage would be reduced. But now, the rule is applied to almost every AISO, and the fact that they won't even go to mentioning it is insulting to us players. You know that upgraded AISO that makes Punisher's Battle Van have more exploits? Well, here you go. But by the way, the damage for it goes down when you equip it onto him. How does that make any sense? At this point, you know that EISO for Doctor Strange that adds exploit attrition to his level 1, and Black Widow's EISO that makes her level 1 have disadvantage? Well, keep him that way. I don't want the damage of it to go down just because of an AISO slot. Anyways, the reason why I'm upset about this is, first, I play this game like everyone else, and I love this game like everyone else. Of course I'm going to be putting in some time for playing and farming these things. Second, I make builds. When I make builds, it's to maximize a hero's ability and make them even better. But now that they go and change everything about what makes a hero so great, I'm angered by that, and I highly endorse everyone at Playdom who works on this game to fix these changes back to the way they originally were. It's already enough that I need to go buy ISO 8 chips to increase my hero's stats. Why would I have the damage of an attack or the healing of an action be reduced because I want to make my hero stronger? It makes no sense. Of course, I am more upset that this wasn't addressed somewhere. So either they have to come out and admit it, or if they don't, change it back to the way it was. There was no need for this change. Unless they tell us why, I will try to be understanding about it. As always, I want to thank you all for listening, and until next time, stay safe and happy hunting.
So I don't know if the new patch notes that just came out said why they changed it, but apparently the original patch notes didn't mention the stuff that we read today. So...
Right. The only thing I can think of is, and it's a don't think that this, I'm saying that this is a good excuse or anything like that. But my thinking is maybe they were trying to set it up so that there was a little bit more strategy in using AISOs instead of it being just, I've got this attack. It doesn't have an AISO. There's no reason I wouldn't put an AISO in it. Right. To thinking, I get this benefit of it causing despair, but it's a trade-off of a little bit less damage. it's the only thing I can think of why they would do this is to make it so that there's that one more thought that you have to give something before you put it as like, oh yeah, do I want to add this benefit? Because it comes at a cost of, you know, losing 5 to 10 or 15%. Yeah. Damage and something. I don't know. I mean, I'm certainly not defending it. It's sure. Too much of a trade-off. It's too much of a cost to pay for a benefit. So,
I'm not going to defend it. I wouldn't necessarily agree it's a great move, but Jet Black says, my guess, they're trying to make the game more accessible to lower end players. Hmm. Yeah, that maybe. Could be. And here's the truth of the matter. We're going to rail against it. Us, not so much, but players are going to rail against it, rage for a minute, and then we're going to keep playing. And by next week, the grumblings will be lower, and the week after, the grumblings will be lower. And because the fact of the matter is, when they roll out a patch like this, they're not going to change it. I mean, they might come back later and release another patch, like, okay, we'll tune it back to just 5% or something. Right. But when they do something this wide, unless it just breaks the game, or unless the entire legitimate community, because, you know, there's a section of community in the internet that just rages to rage. So when I say legitimate community, I mean the people who are saying good and bad things, say, you know what? No, that's just dumb and wrong. Right. And I'm not saying it's dumb or wrong. I'm just saying I don't understand. So I put the pulpy ISO on Molly, right? It's any unarmored attack will gain bleeding. So I put that on her level 2 because she counterattacks with her drop kick. Well, now her drop kick is going to hit less. Am I going to take pulpy off of that? No, because over time, bleeding is worth more to me than hitting you for an extra 100 points right now or something.
Yeah, I don't see it as being enough of a cost to warrant taking an AISO off of an attack. I don't think so anyway, unless you're only getting kind of a marginal benefit from an attack, from an AISO, but I don't see, that's not common. But, the only other consolation I can offer is that at least this affects everybody, right?
So, yeah, well, yeah.
So it's, you know, it's widespread. It's not like some players are going to have a benefit and other players aren't. It's, you know, everybody's,
This whole nerf to healing, though, is
everybody's getting a 5% cut in pay. Sorry,
we just got these amazing AISOs, right? Mm-hmm. That do despair on any buff debuff action, which made the worthy more tank. Like, you know, I absolutely bought it and put it on null. And when he does his little shoulder shrug, you ain't healing. Mm-hmm. That's all you. I mean, you did it right, Plato. You came out with, hey, invest. I think that was a 5 or 10 gold AISO. I went and bought it immediately. You know, it's five. It was half price. It was five when they first came out. So 5 gold, done. You know, bought a couple different ones at that price. And even when they went the full price, 10 gold for something like that. You can put it on a debuff or buff all area attack. So. And quick action too. So in the case of Null, it's I do a quick action and you can't heal. That's a great. I will pay you money for that. Mm-hmm. And I did. I gave him gold for it. But then don't turn around and nerf the healing as well. That's just like you gave me a hammer and then you blew up the house before I could destroy anything.
That's right. You gave me 5% less nails.
Yeah,
that or 15% fewer nails. Yeah. No, it's. I agree that it sucks, but you know what would be, what's the bright spot that we can pull out from all this? I know, Charles, let's say that instead of, you know, 5% or 10% or 15%, let's say that there was a way that you could get 100% more awesome in your mailbox. Would you want something like that? That gives you 100% more awesome in your mailbox?
I don't know, because I'm afraid Klotz will yell at me again, because I thought 20% was great on the cube. So.
I think 100% more awesome in your mailbox every month would be a really cool thing. And holy cow, you can get that with Loot Crate. All you need to do is sign up and you get awesome stuff delivered to your mailbox every month. This month's deal is Power.
Power.
Because you need to be playing with Power. Cool stuff from World of Warcraft, Dragon Ball Z, and Marvel, because we all love Marvel.
I do, indeed.
So who knows what you're going to get in there. Maybe it's a 5% larger damage reduction with Thor's hammer. I don't know. I don't know what you're going to get in there, but you are going to get something really, really cool. And also, to kind of top it all off, how about, here's a reduction we can all get behind, right? It's using lootcrate.com/giant-size-team-up, which not only helps us, but also if you use Giant Size Team Up as a coupon, you get what? How much you get? $3 off
$3
your first?
$3 off of any new subscription.
There you go. That's more than a 5% reduction in the price you're going to pay for Loot Crate. So how awesome is that?
And you have to make sure you do it together. It's lootcrate.com/giant-size-team-up to be able to then use the code giant-size-team-up. Right. It teams up, hence the name. Mm-hmm. They work well together.
Yes.
So you have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific or 12 midnight Eastern. You know that,
cool.
To get this month's crate.
Take advantage of it.
Yeah. It's gone.
Nice. That's it. Very cool. So do it today. It helps us out, you know, if you're going to do it anyway, right? If you were thinking about doing Loot Crate, do it through our link and help us out. You'll save $3 and you'll be helping out from the helicarrier at the same time. So
and I gotta say, sometimes you'll read something that somebody got or you'll open the box yourself. And when you say it out loud, it sounds really goofy. And DC on screen was talking about it the other day, Loot Crate, and then he goes, I've got my Doctor Who spork right here. And immediately in my head, I was that little groundhog out in Africa with meerkat. I was up and I know it's a spork. Sporks are stupid to me, but a Doctor Who spork, I want that all day long.
It's a freaking sonic screwdriver spork, which is the best part.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
So,
and it makes your food all timey-wimey. Anyway, let's get to From the Field, real letters from real people calling in about real problems and real news. And our first one comes from Agent Nork. It says, Agent Nork here. I just saw this and thought the FTH community should know. This is something we talked about earlier in the show. Facebook just rolled out a desktop program beta that allows you to play Facebook games without using your browser. And it makes buzzing noises when you talk. It looks like they've rolled it out worldwide. Haven't rolled it out worldwide yet, but on the MA1 subreddit, there's a link so anyone can download it. The reports I've seen and the personal use seem to be that it works really well with MA1. You can also create a desktop shortcut for Facebook games. It looks like Facebook is trying to make their own version of Steam. Well, I wouldn't go that far, but okay. It just gives you a shortcut to launch games without having a browser. Yeah. I really like the interface, but my main gripe is you can't resize the program window down to just show the game. It only shrinks so far, and with MA1, it keeps blank spaces on either side of the game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have my browsers resized to just show the game and nothing else, but it's still in beta, so they could change the resizing issue. The true test will be PvP's game day. Now, back to power leveling Thor Jane and Blue Marvel to get their PvP bonuses. Signed, Agent/Commander Nork.
So, I didn't try this, but you know, in Facebook itself, on the settings, which this is everything there, it's duplicated, so the settings should be there. In the setting, you can pick full screen. I wonder if it still does the sides
I can try it right here. I think it's going to fill the whole screen, but it still fills your whole monitor as opposed to just filling the screen size that you've got.
Gotcha. You
know, for that app.
I gotcha.
I know what you were saying.
I know a lot of games too cheat it by putting extra background, but it's still just a square or the rectangle or whatever you're looking at. But you know what? It was fine. It works.
Yeah. Still loving it.
I'm not sure how he has his browser sized to just show the game. Because MAA specifically is very odd shaped. Because you need the bar at the top and you need to see your health at the bottom. But there's some other stuff there. And
it's the stuff that appears left and right that kills you with MAA. And I don't know what it is. Like when I tried to resize it with, I think you have to have ad blocker turned on to do this. But if you try and make that window just the width of the game, there's some stuff that cuts off on one side or the other. Like it feels like it needs to keep some white on the left side, which drives me nuts. So, hey, you know, this, it still keeps some stuff on either side of the browser, but, can I just talk about this damn buzzing? Can I tell you what I did
last week?
I already have one backup of my computer. I made a second backup of my computer on Friday, 18 hours of backing up. So I couldn't use my computer during that time. And then I wiped the entire machine and reinstalled system software on there and restored from a backup, thinking that, all right, it's going to solve this USB audio codec issue. That's where this problem comes from,
sure,
this buzzing.
Right.
And Skype triggers it like nobody's business because it takes advantage of that stupid USB audio codec and the friggin' buzz. Today is the first time I've heard it. No, it's definitely not as bad. And it goes away a little bit quicker, but friggin' A, man. I spent the entire weekend not able to do freelance work, not able to do business, not able to make money.
Yeah.
And did this whole stuff, all this stuff, and it didn't solve the problem. So it's anyway, just, all right.
It's just that's you and I, man. We overpowered the internet when we're together. That's
all there. My soapbox. I'm done with my soapbox as well.
All right. Agent Averill comes in and says, "Greetings, ye at the helicarrier. This is Agent Averill. Hope all is well. Am I the only one who thinks Civil War Deuce is another example that even the heroes don't learn their lessons? If you're wondering what I mean, consider the heroic battle in Chapter 8, Mission 1. Bishop goes back in time to kill Sin so that she does not become Scotty. Cable shows him that this has an unintended consequence. Bastion and Red Skull unite and annihilate all mutant kind. Sounds pro-precog, right? Notice then that in the spec op, both Cable and Bishop are anti-precog. Why? Why is that? Nobody asked for their viewpoint. I'll inflect it right there. They have experienced this dilemma already. It's because they're mutants, isn't it? Meanwhile, there's a lot of mutant hate in this game. There really is. I do wonder what role Dr. Doom will play in the coming chapters. Perhaps he will be a team-up and will finally gain something that prevents his tech abilities from being locked out. As for PvP, I've been practicing with various teams, but it has been difficult due to an overwhelming presence of Worthy. It seems to be weird to be encountering them so early, even though I am in Diamond League. Also, Lanterns of Doom everywhere. I did not obtain one because it would have required that I purchase gold, and I would prefer to only buy gold while there is a gold sale. Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. I figured that I made it to Adamantium without one, so what's a few more seasons? We're going to regret that sentence. Next time, because I'm with you, Avril. Next time, a weapon that matters. Yay! Sly grin from the back. Sly grin from the back seat, Agent Avril. Nice reference, sir. I like it.
I love my Lantern of Doom. I've kept it equipped, but I can understand. I mean, I would never buy gold when there's not a gold sale either. So I can absolutely relate to that. I just, I always figure, you know what? I'd rather have it and not use it than need it and not have it. So I buy gold when there's a gold sale.
Yeah. Now that reference there reminded me, I saw something on a post that pulled from Tumblr about Civil War. And this is totally not in the movie, but it would have been a great scene if it was. At some point, Falcon and Black Panther are sitting there. And, of course, Black Panther is very stoic and quiet. And Falcon's like, I don't remember what the exact line is, but hey, man, what's your deal? And Cap is dude, what? Basically, chill out. So I mean, Rudy's like, what? A man shows up dressed like a cat. You don't want to know more about him? And then the Tumblr takes it from there. It goes, under his breath, after they sit there quietly for a second, Sam should have been like, pretty kitty, soft kitty, spell it. And then the Black Panther would be like, I will kill you. And he just keeps singing the song while Black Panther escalates what he's going to do to him. That would have been hilarious.
That's funny.
Not quite his character, although he does some wisecracks, but he wouldn't have pushed it that far. But I was like, that's funny. That's really good.
Very cool.
All right, so you got this next very long. Yes. Well, spaced out. It's not long. I think it's spaced out.
Yeah. And it's very funny. Agent Sketches writes in and says, something's fishy. Not that it smells fishy. If it did, Namor would already be in the game. But no, I'm talking about Spec Ops. I smell a fishy trail where I've come to the conclusion that Civil War II is all thanks to actor Tom Cruise and that Marvel is just using his career as an influence to the story. How? We'll sit back and take a listen as we are back for another installment of Playdoms. Consider the following. In this segment, I will send a few or more things to share, and you have the host, aka Sexy Beasts of the show, who will comment your thoughts on. Now, time for Playdoms. Consider the following. I think that's the last one.
That's awesome.
Okay, first off, let me connect the dots here. Tom Cruise is an actor. It's an actor who stars in Minority Report. Minority Report's a movie about society wanting to change the future. Tom Cruise wants to protect the future. Future, Marvel makes movies in the future. And Marvel looks for an actor to play Iron Man. The actor Tom Cruise was going to play Iron Man. Iron Man wants to protect the future in Civil War II. So Tom Cruise plus Iron Man equals Civil War II. Illuminati confirmed. Second, has anyone found it weird how Groot's all just stares at you the whole time when he's in a battle? Let's just hope Wood doesn't grow. It's already bad enough that he's completely bark-ass nude. I mean, even modern Groot knows how to keep his clothes on when he's in a cutting. Geesh. Just be careful how he says, I am Groot. If it's in a too relaxing tone, then you're in for some serious shitting-ding-ding. The bell has rung. Time for a commercial break. When you buy our latest set of gold, you won't only get double the offer, but also the latest advancement in gaming technology, the Hero for Hire cell phone. Call your favorite heroes, see them fight in action, only for them to leave and never come back. And we'll make your calls free until they become quick after the first few months. To order, call 1-800-G3T-SCAMMED. That's 1-800-GET-SCAMMED. No refunds available. Playdom, where you have to play to pay. All right, so we're back. He actually does have in the notes, yeah, a wink at the camera.
That's awesome.
All right. And for our final segment, I'll be a little more serious with this one, but have any of you seen Shocker's Sinister Six passive? It's actually pretty cool. Every time someone uses a sonic or ground attack, a Sinister Six member will gain morale boost, which just goes to show if you penetrate the right spots in the right way, you'll make someone very happy. That's pretty much it. Tune in next time for when I come up with some better jokes and go on an epic journey to discover why Playdom continues to sell PvP armory items and not bonus items. Sticking with Charles on this one. This was Agent Sketches saying, if you know the exact amount of Quinjets on the flight deck, then you should send yourself out on a mission to the great outdoors. Well done. Dude, love
it. Well played. All right. Any other tips or tricks?
No, you know, there's a Spec Ops going on. There's a PvP going on. Just my suggestion, the tip of the week, basically, we have 13 days left in PvP. So take the next 6 days and get into Adamantium and then just maintain for the final seven.
Is it shorter this time?
It is. It's definitely shorter this time.
The shorter ones are definitely better.
I agree. And there you go.
Yeah. I'm going to try that myself. I'm going to try to get in there.
Cool.
So, all right, stay tuned. If you're live, stay tuned. We're going to do MAA2. That's from the Helicarrier. The Deuce coming up next. And if you're on the podcast and you want to hear more about MAA2, stay in this feed. It's the From the Helicarrier feed. You'll get the shows automatically and just hit play on your podcatcher. So here comes Mr. Woodard with some information.
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibbitt on the Coverville podcast. And Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. And find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes on the Helicarrier.com website. Agents, this has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
The boss and Mantis have fled.